Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get excited, Padres fans. Brown is back. Opening day is Thursday, March 26th, and you can hear all of the action on the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan on a Wednesday here in America's finest city. The weather clearing up, nice day out, maybe a little bit breezy, but a great opportunity to maybe get out in your neighborhood, take a nice little walk, get a little exercise. I know most of you are at home today, and I can tell you that because driving down the freeway today, there weren't a lot of people on the freeway, and I was thankful for that for a variety of different reasons. But we got a great show planned for you today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour at 12:35, Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, is going to join us from his home here in North San Diego County as Dave gets ready to start his fifth season at the helm of the Boys in Blue, four National League West titles, two World Series appearances, and a great record of 393 and 256. So Dave Roberts, the pride of Rancho Buena Vista High School, he'll join us at 12:35. At 1:35 today, we're going to have a lot of fun. I've been wanting to have this gentleman on for some time. His name is Alex Miniak. You all know who he is. You may not know his name, but you'll certainly recognize his voice. He's the public address announcer for the San Diego Padres and the Petco Park PA announcer for all the different events they have out there. He's also the public address announcer on MLB The Show. So Alex Miniak going to join us today at 1:35. I'm real anxious to talk with Alex just because once upon a time, I think it was 1997, the Padres asked me to do the starting lineups from down on the field on a Saturday night. And I can't tell you how much I practiced at home. I practiced at home. I always wanted to do that. And Chris Gwynn was supposed to do it with me. He was going to do one team. I was going to do the other. And we got down there, and Gwynny looks at me and goes, "Coach, this is all you, brother." So I got to introduce the Padres and the Colorado Rockies that night. And so Alex Miniak going to join us at 1:35. And then at 2:35, a very timely guest today, Jennifer Van Grove, reporter and writer for the San Diego Union Tribune. She's been covering the San Diego State drive for buying the land at the SDCCU site and the stadium. And some good news yesterday from the California State University folks regarding the Aztecs and moving ahead. So we'll get an update with Jennifer Van Grove coming up at 2:35. We'll have our regular segments today coming up at 12:50. We'll have Coach's Corner. We'll have This Day in Sports History coming up at 1:50. And then we'll close it out with a really, really special Hang a Star Play of the Day. Want to get to your phone calls today on the program. Our number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Check out all of our social media, our website at 973thefansd. You can listen anywhere. And we're getting more and more people downloading the radio.com app and listening to our program and to Ben and Woods and to Gwen and Chris in the afternoon. We had a truck driver yesterday driving to Grand Prairie, Texas, that had downloaded the radio.com app and favored 97.3 The Fan. So make sure you do that. And all your smart speakers, make sure it's 97.3 The Fan. Our Twitter account. And by the way, this morning, We did a little Twitter chat at 11:15. I really enjoyed it, and the first time we've done it, and we're going to do that again and maybe do a Facebook chat as well, but we had a nice Twitter chat at 11:15 to 11:30. Follow us on Twitter at 97.3TheFanSD, my personal Twitter account at CoachCantara44, and Facebook and Instagram at 97.3TheFan. Shortly, we're going to give you an update on the first round of the all-time greatest athlete to come out of San Diego. We'll give you the quarterfinal matchups. But before we get rolling on everything to do today on the program, I'm going to go over to my colleague, Braden Soprenin. And Braden, I got to tell you and I were pretty busy this morning when we got here to the station.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. A lot of things we had to do. A lot of things we did. And we had the Twitter video today. Thanks to everybody that tuned in and joined us on that. It's fun. We're going to be doing that at least once a week coming up. And then we had our meeting that we had to do via Discord app, so our call chats for that, and then some other housekeeping things that we needed to get done. A lot of things in baseball in terms of them trying to figure out a schedule for 2020. We'll get into that later. I think that's very fascinating because of all the ideas that people are throwing out in terms of the 2020 baseball season.
You know, a lot of people are throwing out a lot of different ideas right now, and some of them are really, really good. And some of them are very outlandish, but you know what? I think right now we're getting a good broad base of baseball fans, even though tomorrow was supposed to be opening day. Braden, think about this. You and I actually were going to be on the air tomorrow, 10 to 12, and then I was going to go watch the game. You had some other duties you were going to have to take place, but tomorrow was actually going to be opening day. Now, we're not going to have an actual opening day tomorrow at Petco Park, but right here on 97.3 The Fan, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a virtual opening day on our Facebook page.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Hopefully the Padres get the W. I'll be very upset if they don't win.
Well, you know what? If they don't win, we're coming on the air at 12:03 tomorrow, and you'll have one talk show host. He'll be a little bit irritated.
You're going to break down the box score and the ins and outs and how the MLB The Show player should have pitched better or should have got a better at-bat or better approach or something?
Well, I can tell you this. Chris Ello promised me. He promised me yesterday when I was walking out of the studio, promised me that he will have a box score for me after the game tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully he has an article about it, post-game article.
I'm sure he will. It'll be up and running on Friday morning on our website at 97.3TheFanSD. Chris, I'm sure, will have a full game recap, being a former writer for the L.A. Times.
That's right. And then are we going to do that every day, or are we just doing it for opening day?
I don't know. I think it's to be determined right now.
There's a couple other things going on tomorrow as well in terms of stuff like that, which is pretty interesting that we could do. We'll talk about that later, though.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how many games they end up playing. I'd like to see them be able to play at least 100 games. I think 100 games legitimizes it. I think, 81 games, half a season, we have to swallow it, okay? We can sit here and bitch, moan, and complain all we want, but this is a one-time thing, hopefully, that we're going to be able to get through this coronavirus. We're going to get back to everyday life. And if they can only play 81 games this year, great. I'd like to see 100, but I'll settle for 81.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not viewing it as doom and gloom as a lot of other people are in terms of when they'll get back. I have a feeling that they're going to figure out a way to get a lot of games in. I mean, we've seen, and there's a proposal in the coach's corner that's different than Scott Boras' proposal I threw out at you on Twitter live, and different than what Major League Baseball was thinking about as well. There's so many different ideas circulating because a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands and they want to figure out what's the best way moving forward. I know the players are going to want to get paid as much as they possibly can of their contract, so that's another factor. They might be signing off on playing in November just so they can get their full paycheck.
Yeah, Scott Boras, for fans that may have missed us on Twitter, he's got a proposal that would take it up to Christmas. That'd be a very, very short off season.
It would be a short off season, but I think they would say they would push the start of the next season back to mid-April instead of having it early March, instead of having it late March like it's been the last couple seasons. That's the other big thing was like the National Hockey League. The NHL was talking about the same thing. And they said in their plan they're not afraid that it's going to push into potentially the start of the next season. They think it's going to be they'd be able to get everything done and still have a legit offseason.
See, I think that's the thing you got to be very, very careful of. You don't want to take away from the next season. You want to do what you can right now, but if you've got to shorten some things so these guys can have their offseason and then get back training, you don't want it to affect the 2021 season. If you're baseball, you know, football, we still got a ways to go, but NHL and NBA. You know, I was thinking about this last night, Brady. You know, what is LeBron James doing right now besides hanging out at his house? He probably got a basket somewhere on his property, but how about the Danny Greens of the world and Anthony Davis? What are those guys doing to be ready when we get back to the fun and games? I mean, what kind of basketball are we going to see down the stretch if they're able to come back and play?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the question for not only baseball, but all these leagues. And all these other leagues were like full go getting ready for the playoff push. And that they're going to slow everything down. It's almost like it'll be another start to another season almost. But I agree with you in the sense of I would rather have all these seasons this year be shortened than to have it affect the start of every season. Like, you're going to get into a bad – you're going to have a shorter offseason. It's going to have effects down the road if you just don't shorten this season and you try to, like, make this season full to and then try to get co quick and get into the next season. I don't think it's going
to
work.
I'm anxious to see, you know, yesterday President Trump, and we missed it because you and I were down here working and we missed his daily update, but he talked about trying to open the country back up on Easter. I don't know if that's possible or not. Again, I've been taking this pretty much day to day. I've been hoping for the best, but even on Easter, if they opened it up, I still don't think we'd have our typical Easter get-together with the family.
I don't think they're going to just let open all the doors and just everybody's going to be able to do whatever they want. I think it's going to be a slow process. I think he just wants to start having people go back to work starting in Easter.
Well, I'm just thankful, and I told you this a little while ago, I'm just thankful that you and I are still able to come to work and be a part of our community, still get a paycheck. But really, it's more about being here. You know, I do not want to be off the air. I want to be on the air right now. In one way, shape, or form, we're going to make sure that we are on the air. And I want to thank Entercom and all the people involved for allowing Braden and I to come in here through this. And, you know, I think Gwen and Chris and Ben and Woods and Scraby and Paul Reindel, I think we all appreciate being able to come in here and do what we do. And hopefully we're bringing you a little fun during the afternoon. And certainly love to hear from you today. Our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Again, we'll get you radio.com news updates at the bottom of each hour during our program. And again, our guest list today coming up at 12:35, Dodger manager Dave Roberts will join us. At 1:35, Alex Miniak, the public address announcer of the Padres and also the PA announcer for MLB The Show, he'll be on the program. And Jennifer Van Grove, writer and reporter for the San Diego Union Tribune. Again, our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we return, we'll give you the update from yesterday's first round of the greatest athlete in San Diego history, and we'll give you the quarterfinal matchups. Coach John Quintero, hey, just getting warmed up on a Wednesday. Thanks for joining us right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. At 12:21, Coach John Quintero just getting warmed up on a Wednesday. Thanks so much for joining us. And I think it's going to rain a little bit tonight. Hopefully not too much tomorrow, but it sounds like we're going to have a great weekend. So that'll be encouraging since most of us are going to be around the house and getting things done and getting a little exercise in our neighborhood. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to stay connected with your friends on 97.3 The Fan while we keep social distance, you can join us for our live video sessions on Twitter at 97.3TheFanSD. Ben and Woods had theirs earlier the week on Monday. I had mine this morning at 11:15. But on Friday, we've got Gwen and Chris. They're going to be on live on our Twitter at 97.3TheFanSD at 2:15 on Friday. So we all can stay connected right here on 97.3TheFan. I got to tell you, Braden, and I think you agree with me on this. This radio station is still very young in its infancy. I've been on the air now, you know, right about 2 years. And it's been really incredible, the fan base that we've already created and the loyalty that we appreciate all those great fans out there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, just some of the phone calls we've been getting, even the ones that we don't put on the air, just, you know, kind of thanking us and you know, everybody listening to us still and, you know, trying to get a reprieve from everything that's going on in the world with some sports talk.
We got Dave Roberts, Dodger manager, coming up here shortly. Again, our phone number, if you'd like to be a part of the program today, 833-288-0973. Braden, why don't you give us the update on the first round yesterday, and we can talk a little bit about the quarterfinal matchups today. And, boy, I got to tell you, the quarterfinal matchups are tough.
Marcus Allen beat Greg Louganis 89% to 10%. Junior Seau gets an upset. Not really, but he got the 9 seed. 94% to 5% for Charlie Powell. Tony Hawk with the upset over Terrell Davis, 65% over 34%. Reggie Bush, the 5 seed, knocks down Gail Devers, 77% to 22%. Bill Walton cruises to a victory, 90% to 9%. Ricky Williams wins 81% to 18% over Brian Sipe. Phil Mickelson downs Alan Trammell, 71% to 28%, and Ted Williams gets 99.4% of the vote over Darren Johnson. That sets up for today's matchups, which are Marcus Allen taking on Junior Seau in the quarterfinals, which is pretty tough. Tony Hawk taking on Reggie Bush, Bill Walton taking on Ricky Williams, and Phil Mickelson taking on Ted Williams.
Okay, I'm going to tell you how I think this is going to go right now. I think Marcus Allen's going to edge Junior. I think it's going to be really, really tight, but I think Marcus Allen may win this. I think Tony Hawk, there's a great support group out there for him. I think he beats Reggie Bush. Bill Walton will edge Ricky Williams, probably beat Ricky pretty good, I would think. And I think Ted Williams ends up taking down Phil Mickelson. Those are eight unbelievable athletes right there.
Do you want to know the results so far?
Yeah, give us the results here a little bit.
We put it out about 11 o'clock, and Junior Seau has a lead 76% to Marcus Allen's 23%.
Really?
As a better athlete coming out of San Diego. Of course, you can vote at 97 through the Fan SD. You can also call us at 833-288-0973. Tony Hawk is leading Reggie Bush 56% to 43%, and that just changed with another vote, 54% to 45%. Reggie Bush got another one. Bill Walton leads Ricky Williams 71% to 29%, and Ted Williams leads Phil Mickelson 85% to 14%.
All right. Now, this will go until early tomorrow morning, and then we'll have the results of the quarterfinals, and then we'll have the semifinal matchups, and the finals will be on Friday.
That's right. So it will be live until about 11 o'clock tomorrow. So you have until then to vote.
You know, I felt really good about myself yesterday. You know, I felt really bad Saturday night when I sat down to put all these names together and send them to you. I felt really bad because I was leaving people off. But after having Bill Center on yesterday, I felt a little bit better. I still felt bad that I left some people off. But I felt a lot better because he thought the matchups were incredibly difficult, but he didn't disagree with one athlete that we had on there.
No, he didn't have any gripes with any of those athletes. I thought for sure he would have at least one you know, suggestion, if you will. I sent him your top 25 or your all-time 26-man roster last night.
Oh, did you? I was thinking about doing that today, but I'm glad you did that.
Yeah,
thank you.
He texted me on the way home. He said, where's that roster you're going to send me? I was like, oh, here, I'll send it to you right now. He didn't comment further. He just got it. So I don't know. We're going to have to follow up with Bill Center and see what his thoughts are on your 25-man lineup.
Yeah, we'll get him on next week again. You know, like he said, he's got plenty of time on his end. I got to tell you something about Bill Center. Bill Center is a guy that really cares. I mean, you know, I know a lot of different people in a lot of different walks of life, and Bill Center could sit back and not do squat the rest of his life. He wrote forever for the San Diego Union-Tribune, and the thing that I really admire about Bill Center wrote on everything, whether it was stock cars, NASCAR, boating. You know, he wrote on everything, and Bill Center, I'm sure, has made a ton of money in his life, and he doesn't need to be working. And he's like the first guy at the ballpark every day and like one of the last guys to leave. I mean, the guy absolutely loves being around the sports world. And when Bill Center comes on, he speaks from the heart. He's not a guy that just throws stuff out to try to sound good. He really thinks about what he says, and he really speaks from the heart. And I really respect Bill Center. You know, he's a bulldog. I will tell you, when he covered the Aztecs and I was doing Aztec radio, Bill and I didn't always get along because I had to do the post-game guest, you know, every night. You know, I'd have to interview Coach Tolner or Coach Long or whoever. And Bill's on deadline. And he's wanting me to, you know, get the coach on and off as quickly as possible. Well, first I had to get the coach. because he was talking to the team, and Bill would, come on, you got to hurry up. I go, Bill, I haven't even interviewed him yet. He's not even here. I'll get him to you as soon as I can. But you know what? He's a bulldog, but he's a doggone good guy. And when we bring Bill Center on, there's a lot of great history and knowledge of not only sports, but San Diego sports. And that's why I wanted to bring him on yesterday. And we'll look forward to having him on, because I really respect his opinion a great deal and always enjoy having him on my program. I'll tell you who I'm going to enjoy having on my program here in about 8 minutes is going to be Dave Roberts. I can only imagine Dave Roberts sitting in North County right now just chomping at the bit to get back managing the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know the other thing, Braden, that's interesting about Dave Roberts? I'm anxious to see what he's doing daily right now, because he's got a son who's a freshman at Loyola Marymount, Cole Roberts, who played at Santa Fe Christian. I wonder if he's hitting them ground balls in the backyard every day. We're going to find out here shortly. But, you know, I told my daughter, I go, get the kids out back. I told both my daughters. We've got one daughter that's got a 4-year-old, another and a 2-year-old, and he's a boy, and he's running around the house with a bat. They had to take the bat away from the other day. He was hitting everybody, including his sister, with this plastic Padre bat. But get him out, and I told Brooke, my oldest daughter, to get her kids out and back. Work on your athletic skills right now. You got plenty of time. It's not a controlled environment. Go out there, have fun, kick the soccer ball, dribble the basketball, throw the softball. Do something to make yourself a little bit better, and make sure you're still focusing on your academics a little bit as well.
That was brings up what Mac Engel said, I think it was last week, a couple weeks ago, when he was talking about the youth soccer and how nobody's really playing it just to have fun, to learn the game on
it's
their own.
It's all control.
Now's the perfect time to do that, is develop a love for the sport, especially if you could do it in your own backyard and do it with your, you know, you can do it by yourself, you can do it your social distance, you don't need to go to a park and have organized games or what have you. It's a good way to work on your own technique, your own fundamentals, and develop a love for the game.
Yeah, you got to go out and, you know, I will say this, everything now is so controlled sports-wise. I mean, I used to go out and shoot for hours. I mean, when I was in high school even, when everybody else was going to the beach, checking out the chicks, I was in a gym or in my driveway shooting 6 hours a day. And, you know, I don't ever regret one second of that. But everything now is controlled. Club baseball, controlled. Club softball, controlled. Club basketball, controlled. And the last thing these kids want to do when they have free time is go out and play sports, because everything has been controlled. They want to have a little free time. Now the kids have free time. Go out, play a little, play in the backyard with your brother or sister. Kick that soccer ball around, shoot that basket, and get yourself a little bit better. And not only that, get out of the house and get a little exercise. I think it does us all good right now. With that, we're going to get to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dodger manager Dave Roberts. But first, 97.3 The Fan is helping San Diego stay connected. Here's your latest news update from radio.com. Ah, 12:37 on a Wednesday. Everything starting to look pretty good outside. And right now we're going to head out to our first guest today. Always a pleasure to have this gentleman join our program. A longtime San Diegan, the pride of Rancho Buena Vista High School, UCLA, and now getting ready to start his fifth year as a skipper of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dave Roberts joins me on our SDCCU fan hotline. Dave, welcome, and hope you and the family are well.
Hey, Coach, it's good to catch up with you. We are doing well. I think that obviously this is uncharted territory for everyone. And what we have done is kind of hunkered down and spent a lot of time that we hadn't expected to be together. So that's been good, but just still being mindful of, obviously, us trying to stay active at home.
Hey, I want to know, you got Cole out in the backyard hitting them ground balls each and every day to keep him sharp?
I do. Actually, we're going to be going out there after this interview. So there's the grounders, and we've also got the batting cage back there. So we play catch, and we do the hitting. So he's just so bummed because, obviously, his season got cut short and doing online classes. But, you know, that whole word perspective certainly comes into play. But, yeah, individually, we're staying active, and we're still playing some ball.
Hey, Dave, now that you're home from spring training, how much baseball activity are you dealing with on the telephone, whether it be text messages from your front office or your players? Has it been pretty quiet, or you been pretty active?
You know what, I think that on the macro big picture, pretty quiet. I think that with, you know, obviously from the president on down and trying to figure out what we're going to do as a country, you know, baseball obviously is secondary. So I think that until we know some guidelines, I think that we're kind of sitting in a holding pattern, and the players union and Major League Baseball are trying to come together on an agreement as far as, you know, compensation and service time. And that was all kind of dictated by how many games we ultimately play anyway. So I think that for me, the coaches, we've just been really staying active with our players, trying to just stay in tune with those guys, making sure we're supporting them any way they need and keeping them active or trying to stay active and seeing what they're doing and making sure they're not going too stir crazy. So that's kind of what's been going on.
We're visiting with Dodger manager Dave Roberts, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline. There were so many things going on there at the end of spring training when they were going to call it off and they were going to let guys stay here or go there. You know, every organization was kind of dealing with it a little bit differently. But how about your players? Did a lot of the guys go home, or a lot of them still sitting over in Arizona right now?
So early on, most of the guys wanted to stick it out and stay in Arizona. The facility was open, so to kind of stay ramped up with the weight room and all that stuff. And then some guys left early and just wanted to be with their families, and some guys headed to Los Angeles. And so now I think that most guys have went to their respective homes, to their own cities, and some guys have kind of remain steadfast in Arizona and trying to figure out ways to stay active. And other guys went to Los Angeles. So we kind of spread it out. And it's one of those things, Coach, where with baseball and baseball players, you know, we just don't react or respond well to the uncertainty. I think that, you know, regardless of how hard the task is or how long the season might be, once we know what's in front of us, we can kind of focus on that. So right now, guys are in that no man waiting game. So, just trying to stay positive and active right now.
Hey, Dave, I've had a couple of guys that are playing in the minor leagues call me and ask me, hey, Coach, you know, what should we do right now? And I go, well, more than anything else, you can't kill yourself in workouts right now because you have no idea when this is going to end. I go, but you got to do a lot of maintenance work right now. You got to throw, you got to hit a little bit, but hit for a quality, not quantity. You know, try to get your ground balls. What's your approach with your players? What have you told your players? And then we'll get into the pitching here in a minute, but just your position players, what have you told them about, you know, off-season workouts right now before you go back to spring training?
I think the thing is it's more of just kind of thinking about January and keeping in that mindset of you're in January before spring training. We're going to get time to ramp up. It's not going to be it's going to be an abbreviated spring training, whatever that is. But I think for me on the position player side, it's more of, yeah, like you said, keep your arm moving, whether it's playing catch against the wall, playing catch with a buddy. I saw Garrett Cole the other day playing catch with his wife, which is great. But I think for me, yeah, but I think the thing is that your core, you know, your abs, the obliques, and kind of doing your core exercises, taking swings, dry swings, whatever you can do, because that's the thing that you don't want to come back and blow out an oblique where you're out for the next couple months after that.
Dave, how about pitching-wise? You know, I think they've talked about, well, when they lift the restrictions, everybody can get back to, you know, semi-normal work and baseball can come back. You know, they're going to need 4 weeks. Do you really believe the ball club needs 4 weeks if the pitchers are working out right now and throwing bullpens and running and doing what they need to be doing?
I don't. And I think that's obviously, when you're talking about 4 weeks, that's optimum for a starting pitcher. So now you've got five starting pitchers. And I got a phone with Clayton Kershaw this morning, and he said, I don't need 4 weeks. And you're playing catch, you're keeping your arm moving. And I think that we don't need 4 weeks. You know, once we get the green light to play baseball and we can take necessary precautions, we got to play baseball. And it's not ideal for anybody, but I do think that Major League Baseball needs to really consider expanding rosters. I don't care if it's 40. You know, and to keep the extra pitchers up there, and we'll get them built up ultimately to the 90-100 pitch mark. But to get the season going, if they're built up to 40 pitches, whatever it be, we don't need 4 weeks. I think 2 makes more sense.
Hey, Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, our guest here on our SDCCU fan hotline. You made a change with your pitching coach. Rick Honeycutt took another role with the organization, and you bring in Mark Pryor, who'd been the bullpen coach the last couple of years. Talk about Mark and how he was doing in spring training.
Mark's been fantastic. You know, he's been with us – for a couple years in the pen. Had a career, obviously, was, you know, one of the best pitchers on the planet as an amateur, and was with the Cubs. And once he was done, he did just such a great job and went, you know, with both feet with the Padres and did some front office stuff where he had the office and checked in every single day, and where most special assistants don't do that. And then he was the pitching coordinator. So we were fortunate enough to grab him a couple years ago. And he's was, you know, really tied with Rick Honeycutt, who I think so highly of. And so for us now to promote Mark to the pitching coach, it was very seamless. The relationships were already kind of built in. He's just very, very intelligent. He's a very good listener coach. And I think that, you know, I think that the players really respond to that. He's kind of the old school, understands throwing programs, mechanics, the new school analytics, and he's just the perfect balance. And I'm just very lucky to have him.
Hey, I'm sure you've, you know, scoured the internet to see, you know, any baseball news at all. And, you know, Braden and I are down here each and every day trying to put together a talk show. And we're seeing a lot of people coming up with different scenarios. If you play X amount of games, you know, this year, or, you know, 104 games or 122 or 81, everyone's got their little spin on what they should do with the playoffs. Could you see the playoffs actually this year being expanded just because of the shortened season?
I don't know about expanded. I do see it going in deeper into the fall. I do think that, you know, the idea of the neutral sites as we go deeper into the fall makes sense. You know, I think that it should be in an abbreviated season, but how many games that we could, and I say that because obviously ideally we'd like to play 162, but then you're going into the winter, and then it bleeds into the preparation for the next year and potential injuries. So I think that, you know, with what we're dealt with and abbreviated, what that means, no one knows right now. Something else, Coach, you know, I do want that amateur draft, you know, so some of the things I touched on, you know, abbreviated season, not an expanded postseason playoff format for me, neutral, I like the neutral, and an abbreviated draft, you know, whether it's 20 rounds, you know, you got to give these amateurs an opportunity to sign.
100% agree. Dave, I got to ask you, you and I haven't talked about this. You know, I did the event with you out there at Rancho Buena Vista, and it was, you know, it was chaotic. There were a lot of people there, and, you know, it was a marvelous day. But, you know, your thoughts on what happened to the Astros, and you guys were involved in the 2017 World Series, and, you know, it changes history, possibly. It changes maybe the way people look at you as a manager. It looks at the way, you know, Kershaw, you know, is in postseason. And, you know, I'm sitting here today, and I was driving to the station thinking, you know what, if the game was up and up, you know, Dave Roberts may have one championship under his belt as a skipper. One more may get him into the Baseball Hall of Fame. When you're sitting by yourself and, you know, just idle time, do you think a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I think, and first off, I appreciate you being and hosting and emceeing that event at my alma mater, Rancho Buena Vista. And, Coach, I think, to be honest, I do think about that. And I think that, you know, you try not to get in that headspace too often and, you know, think about what if. But I think that you were probably my biggest advocate and defender, you know, when you hear all this criticism that, you know, that I went through and you know, the Dodgers. And now you look back and they were accused of cheating. And so and I do believe, and anyone knows that, when you play this game, when you have that much of a competitive advantage, the outcome could have been different. And so I can't, and I've never been that guy that's going to go out there and self-promote and talk about myself. But I do come to the support of our players, where Clayton and Yu Darvish and their legacies, and they're looked upon differently. But yeah, you know, it could have been different. I think I could have been looked at from the lens of a lot of people differently, but it is what it is. I'm very grateful for the opportunities, and, you know, hopefully we'll get this one in and I'll raise that trophy this year.
Well, hey, David, thanks so much. Get Cole out there. Make sure he's working on that backhand and coming in on those slow rollers real well. And don't wear him out in the cage, huh?
You got it, Coach. Thanks for having me on. You're the best.
All right. Be well, my friend.
Take care. Take care, Coach.
There you go. Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And for a lot of you fans out there, back in 1987, I was given an assignment by the late, great Irv Harrigan. Irv passed away here a few years ago. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame, and he was the first man that physically put me on the radio. John Lynch told, hey, this guy knows a lot about sports. Put him on your morning show on Friday mornings. And then Irv had, with Paul Bloom, he had what they called the tailgate show, because we carried on old 690, we carried...
I remember the tailgate show.
The Charger games. And so they said, your job is to go out each week and interview a high school player and a high school football coach. Well, back in the day, Rancho Buena Vista was a really, really good football program. And so I went out there and interviewed their head coach, Craig Bell, and I interviewed this little sophomore quarterback by the name of Dave Roberts. Little did I know, later on, Dave Roberts would end up being a Major League Baseball player and then eventually the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I've known Dave since he was a sophomore in high school. And even when he was playing with Boston, I helped him get his agent. John Boggs is his agent. I helped him get his agent when he was playing with the Cleveland Indians. So we have a long history together, Braden.
I think a lot of Red Sox fans appreciate that.
Yeah. I remember.
Most important stolen base in Red Sox history.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little story about that. The night before he got traded, he had three hits against the Padres here at Petco Park, and then he got traded on a Saturday morning, and I called him, and he was on his way to Petco Park to pick up all his belongings to get to the airport to fly to Boston. And then the rest is history. But we thank Dave Roberts for coming on the program. And again, all of our guests on the John Quintero Show come via the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by NCUA. And for details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com. With that, let's get to today. Very, very busy Coach's Corner.
Coach Cantera breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan. Number one.
I was waiting for the head nod. You haven't head nodded in a long time. You get the head nodding back.
Well, I was a little concerned. I mean, the head nod comes with the music, and I hear the music. I was getting a little nervous.
Defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh is expected to return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a one-year, $8 million deal. Sources tell ESPN's Adam Schefter. Suh, who signed a one-year deal with the Buccaneers last offseason, may not have put much of a dent in that stat sheet, finishing with 41 combined tackles, 2.5 sacks, and 4 passes defended, but his impact was certainly felt. And arguably the Bucs' biggest win of 2019, a 55-40 road victory against the Rams, Suh scooped up a fumble and turned it 37 yards to seal the game. Big comeback for the Buccaneers here. Getting Ndamukong Suh, how much did Brady, you think, played a factor in that decision for him?
I don't know if it did. I wonder what the market was for Ndamukong Suh. I mean, really, Braden, you look at him, you know, I thought he was going to be a Hall of Fame defensive lineman. I just don't see it. I mean, he's really become a journeyman the last 5 years since he left Detroit. He's been in Miami, where he didn't fare all that well, considering he got all that money. Then he was with the Rams, now a couple of years with Tampa Bay. Kind of become a nomad.
He has on-field issues, not off-field issues. He's always playing, like, he's always doing something, like, past the whistle. It's
well, he hasn't done that in the last couple of years. He did it when he was with Detroit all the time.
But that set him up for probably the path that he's on right now.
He would have fit in much better in the 40s and 50s when guys were eye-gouging without face masks.
I watched him at at Qualcomm Stadium down there completely shut down Nick Foles and the Arizona Wildcats in the Holiday Bowl.
And you know what? I was in the press conference afterwards. That guy was unbelievably powerful.
That was the most
number two
painful loss that I've gone through as a fan.
That guy was a stud.
Even past midfield, I was upset. Number two, 7-inning doubleheaders could be a way for the big leagues' teams to squeeze more games into a condensed season without exhausting pitching staffs, Toronto Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins suggested. Opening day has been postponed until at least mid-May because of the coronavirus pandemic. Blue Jays were set to begin the 2020 season at home against the Boston Red Sox on Thursday afternoon. Atkins pitched in the Cleveland's minor league system for 5 seasons before becoming Indians' assistant director of player development. He was hired as Toronto's general manager in December of 2015. College and minor league teams typically play 7 innings in each game of a doubleheader, so his suggestion is throw in more doubleheaders, just make them both seven innings, do you think that flies in Major League Baseball?
You know what? I have no problem with it. And again, I'm a purist, but I also realize the situation we're in right now. I have no problem. They do that at all levels of minor league baseball. They do it in college baseball. They do it in high school baseball. Seven innings. And you know what? May help the Padres. The guy can go four innings and go to that bullpen, baby.
Exactly. What? Follow up on that real quick, just with the seven. Do you think they could play a 162-game season with multiple doubleheaders in a week that are seven innings each?
I wouldn't get carried away with it. I think you're going to have an off day somewhere in there. I mean, if you're going to play a couple of doubleheaders, you have to have at least one off day during the week.
Number three.
Free agent wide receiver Taj Sharp has agreed to a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. Teams announced on Wednesday. Source confirmed to ESPN that Sharp would sign a one-year deal. Sharp, who's 25, had 25 receptions for 329 yards and a career-high four touchdowns last season, his fourth with the Tennessee Titans. Vikings are in the process of filling the void left by Stephon Diggs, who was traded to the Buffalo Bills last week for four draft picks, including the number 22 overall selection. So Taj Sharp trying to replace Stephon Diggs in Minnesota.
Well, he's a third or fourth receiver, a nice depth guy to have, a guy that, you know, can come in and, you know, help you maybe on third down. But, you know, Stephon Diggs, pretty talented guy, even though his attitude left a lot to be desired.
Number four.
Dayton sophomore Obi Toppin is entering the 2020 NBA draft. He announced in a video posted on Twitter Wednesday, "I hope everyone is safe and healthy during the current situation going on in the world. COVID-19, I would like to share the news with you guys that I'll be signing with an agent and foregoing my college eligibility by entering the 2020 NBA draft," Toppin said. Is this a good year to go to the NBA draft with all the circumstances?
Well, I think considering he's the AP National Player of the Year and made just about every first-team All-American team that I've seen come out, and I've seen about eight of them come out, yeah, I think it's probably the right thing for him to do. And by the way, not only he was the AP Player of the Year, his head coach, Anthony Grant, was the AP Coach of the Year, and our boy Brian Dutcher finished in third spot.
What do you think Malachi Flynn's going to do?
You want my honest opinion?
Yes.
And he's going to the NBA.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't think he can have any better a season next year than he had this year. I think his stock is real high.
Number five.
Throwback jerseys could be getting an assist as early as 2021. The NFL is considering changes to its one-helmet rule, prohibiting teams from donning alternative designs above the chin strap. There will be no change for the 2020 season, league spokesman Brian McCarthy told ESPN. There are ongoing discussions for potential change in the 2021 season, but no decisions have been made. Bruce Arians mentioned the idea this week when asked about Tampa Bay Buccaneers' famous creamsicle uniforms on the Dan Patrick Show. The coach said the league could tweak the rule and allow such jersey comebacks. The NFL went to one helmet per team earlier this decade to maximize head safety. It's kind of a shame you don't get to see the old school helmets anymore, because the NFL, if you could do it in college, why couldn't you do it in the NFL? I can see, I would be in for the NFL changing this rule so we could see more crazy helmets on Sundays.
The NFL, not a fun league.
No fun league.
No fun league at all. I mean, they're always coming out with things that, do they really matter that much? Does it really matter? Do something for the fans.
They care more about equipment and everything than player safety and stuff like that.
They care about the sponsorship on the helmet is what they care about.
It's all the same helmet. Why can't you just change it to a different logo?
I have no idea.
That was the coach's call.
All right.
All righty. Hey, how about hour number one already in the books, Braden? Pretty quick hour.
Quick work.
And coming up in hour number two, Alex Miniak, the public address announcer of the Padres and also the PA announcer for MLB The Show. Look to get to your phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Cantara headed to 3 o'clock right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Get excited, Padres fans. Brown is back. Opening day is Thursday, March 26th, and you can hear all of the action on the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.